I'm Georgie Frost, and this is the Brexit Ready podcast from Audio UK. We're talking to people in or around the audio business in Britain, as well as getting expert opinion on what the landscape might be after Brexit and how companies should be preparing. There's obviously a lot of uncertainty right now, and even after a deal is struck or not struck, things may, of course, change again. Now, as we look at a future outside of the single market, which would mean the end to freedom of movement, many in the audio industry will need to think about how it might affect them. Given so many of us are self-employed or work on a freelance basis, it may be even more important to stay on top of any changes in the immigration system. Well, Alex Kirkland is a sports journalist based in Spain who produces the award-winning The Spanish Football Podcast and joins us now. Hello, Alex.
Hello, Georgie. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you. The question is, how are you doing? But before we get to that, just if you would, give us a bit more detail about yourself. Introduce yourself. Are you freelance, living in Spain?
Yes, exactly. So I've been living in Madrid since 2012, and pretty much throughout that time, I've been freelance or autónomo, as they call it here in Spain. I mean, I've had the odd contractual job as well, but pretty much throughout that time, I've been freelance with various clients, both based here in Spain and internationally as well.
Not to get personal, but you're married in Spain. This is not sort of a just going over there perhaps for a few years and with an idea to come back.
We can get personal. It's absolutely fine. I like so many Brits, I guess, have kind of built my life living abroad in Europe. When I moved here back in 2012, I had no idea really if I was going to be here for a few months or a few years. But it's turned out I'm here to stay. And I consider it my home. As you say, I got married here last year. I live here with my wife. We want to, build a future here, really. We've got no plans to move. But of course, all this uncertainty over Brexit, although funny enough, there have been developments even today as at the time of recording. But all this uncertainty, it doesn't make that very easy.
Mm. And I assume your wife isn't Spanish.
No, my wife is Venezuelan, which is an additional complication, actually, because as it stands, she's a doctor. She's able to live and work in Spain because of our relationship, because she is a close family member of a European citizen, the European citizen being me. But if that changes in the event of Brexit, that also presents complications for her and her line of work as well. And to be honest, that's even more stressful because it's one thing to manage and worry about your own situation. Mm. But when you've got people depending on you and their futures and their professional futures depend on you, and to be blunt, your immigration status, that's kind of a whole other level of stress, to be honest.
Yeah, no, it sounds awful. I want to get really romantic and talk about your tax status as well, and other things that are going to affect you around your business and your travelling around Europe and your work situation.
So I've paid all my taxes here in Spain for a long time now. When I first moved here from the UK, for a year or two, I was still declaring very small amounts in the UK as well. But not long after I moved here, I made the changeover and I declare everything here.
So you spoke there about the concerns you have around your wife, obviously. What else are you concerned about specifically? Is it, I mean, I guess it sounds as though almost that your entire life in Spain could be up in the air. Is that too much? I mean, how much do you think this is just not based in fact? It's just a lot of fear, or is there genuinely, you believe, cause for concern, deal or no deal?
No, look, we just don't know. That's the thing. We just don't know. And I talk to other Brits who live over here, and a lot of them are in the same position. It's, as I say, it's the uncertainty. It's the fact that, presumably we'll be okay. Presumably a deal will be agreed. And we have been told that our rights will be protected in the event of Brexit. And in fact, to give credit to the Spanish government, they've acted with unusual haste. it's not often that the Spanish government gets anything done quickly, but they actually rushed a bill through Parliament to protect British people here in the event of a no-deal Brexit scenario. However, they are understandably concerned. They want to make sure that Spanish citizens in the UK are going to be getting as much protection as British citizens are here. And they've expressed some concern in the last couple of months that they feel like what the process for European citizens that they're going through in the UK maybe isn't offering as many protections as they were offering to us. So that is also uncertain now. But like I say, it's just the fact that we just don't know, and no one can tell us, because we don't know when Brexit is going to happen. We presume Brexit is going to happen, but we don't know when, and we don't know on what basis. Now, like I say, there are so many British people who have made their lives here. You know, I haven't got the facts and figures in front of me, but Spain must be one of the biggest, or maybe the biggest, European countries in terms of British people who've come here. And it, by the way, it's not just about Brits who come here and, you know, retire on the Costa del Sol, because when you look at the media, quite often that's kind of the image that's portrayed. And that's where a lot of the coverage has been focused on. And those people exist, of course they do. But there are many, many, many British people like me who've come here to live and work. So, yeah, it's the uncertainty that's the big one, really. And it's not just uncertainty from my point of view. It's also an issue for my clients and people that I work with, because naturally, when I'm talking to a client about doing some work with them, you know, the first thing they want to know is, well, what's going on with Brexit? Are you going to be able to work with us after Brexit happens? What's going to be your status? And I can't answer those questions either. So it makes forward planning difficult, and it makes building new relationships with clients difficult as well, because no one has the answers. All we really want is to know what's going to happen, to be honest. Of course, it's not the ideal scenario. The ideal scenario for people like me would be for Britain to remain within the EU, because things were working pretty well for the likes of me before all this started. But now that it's happened, what we really need to know is what's going on? What's the situation? What's our legal status? And what plans do we have to make? Because, you know, the British government, the limited advice they've given us, it's been the most basic things, you know, like make sure your paperwork is in order, make sure you're registered as living here, as being a resident here, which I am. I'm registered as a permanent resident here. But there's not much else that we can do other than sit and wait and hope, to be honest.
What have you been doing, if anything, over and above, I suppose, what is the general advice coming out of the government and authorities? Have you done anything to prepare for Brexit? Can you?
It's kind of paperwork related stuff. So, for example, I was already registered here as a resident in Spain, but I went down to my local office for that kind of thing, and I made sure that I was not only registered as a resident, but as a permanent resident. So now my Spanish ID card has the little word permanent on it, and which we're told, you know, that may not make a difference. It may not be necessary, but it might. I made sure that my address on my ID card was up to date as well, to make sure they have me in the right place. I made sure that my tax records here are all in order going back over the years, so that, you know, whatever happens, the Spanish government can see how long I've been here, how long I've been working, how long I've been paying taxes, how much tax I've paid. Because all of those things might well end up being relevant. We just don't know. We presume that some sort of special regime is going to be brought in for British people who are working here, who will be treated perhaps as if we are European citizens, even though we aren't, or perhaps a separate, slightly different, but somewhat comparable regime for Brits here as well. But like I say, we just don't know. You know, the worst case scenario would be that all of a sudden I go from having full rights to live and work here to having none and being, you know, a national of any other country outside the EU, and have to go through the rigmarole of applying for a work visa and that kind of thing. Now, a work visa is all very well if you're employed by a company, you know, say some big multinational company who will go through that process for you and apply for that work visa for you. But if you're self-employed, if you're freelance like I am, well, first of all, I'd have to do all that myself. And second of all, I might not qualify for a work visa, because I don't know what the criteria would be in terms of, is there a minimum that you have to earn a year and that sort of thing. So yeah, none of that, we don't have the answers. And to be honest, nobody has the answers to all that at this stage.
Has it made you look at companies in a different way, I suppose, as staying freelance, as to become employed by one? Have you been sort of making inquiries as to whether that might be an option for you?
Yes, a couple of times this year I went as far as applying for jobs and going through the process of job interviews, not because I even necessarily wanted that job, but I thought that in the event of Brexit, and in particular a no-deal Brexit, I would be in a better position if I was working for a company with a contract than being freelance. As it stands, in fact, I have just got a new job, which I start next month. But that's going to be, it's with a company that's based in, well, the headquarters that I'm dealing with are based in the UK. However, and this is another point, to be honest, that's worth highlighting. They are going to be, the contract is going to be via a company in Ireland, and it's going to be in euros, because of this entire situation. Number one, I wouldn't want to be being paid in pounds.
Yeah.
Because who knows if the pound is going to collapse when Brexit happens and all of it. And all, you know, I'm living here in Spain and my living costs are the same, but suddenly I'm earning much less. And also, yeah, because of this whole Brexit thing, this company said, look, it's going to work like this. It'll be with our partners who are based in Dublin. So yeah, all those kind of things are factors too.
Do you see more companies doing it that way? Have you heard from fellow freelancers that that is what's happening?
It's difficult for me to say. Everyone that I know and that I speak to is kind of in a different position. And of course, many people have gone through even more basic practical steps. You know, we're hearing anecdotally about so many people who are looking at the possibilities of applying for an Irish passport, getting dual nationality that way. And mentioning dual nationality, that would be an option for me further down the line as well. Us Brits, we have to have lived in Spain for 10 years to qualify for a Spanish passport. And so I've been here for 7, so I'm 3 years short.
Mm.
And also there are further complications because it depends on the countries involved. But for example, because Britain and Spain have a somewhat complex relationship, largely because of Gibraltar, in theory, you are not allowed to have a British passport and a Spanish passport. If I was going to apply for a Spanish one, I would have to give up my British one, something I would be very reluctant to do for obvious reasons. But no, in terms of the experiences of others, I can't really talk generally, except to say that pretty much everyone is just as worried as I am, just as kind of confused as I am, and literally following the news on a daily basis, because every single day, and like I say, today is a good example, our situation changes and our circumstances change. You know, now it looks like at the moment, I may well not have to worry about this for another few months. But again, that's the situation right now. You know, tomorrow or the day after that or next week, it could change again.
No, absolutely. It sort of brings it home in a real life example. I'm going to ask you a general question anyway, even though you said you can't speak generally. But how is Brexit viewed in Spain?
Mostly the attitude is one of bemusement, I think. And just, you know, wondering why on earth we are going through, I mean, without wanting to get too political, you know, we are going through this kind of act of national self-sabotage, to be honest. So it's bemusement. It's also, I mean, people here generally are finding it hard to keep track. Like I say, with things changing every day, you know, you find yourself just having to let people know what the latest is because they're not necessarily following it. There's a little bit of people kind of maybe just feeling, well, you know, go on then. If you don't want to be a part of the club, clear off kind of thing. You know, you get a bit of that. But to be honest, most people are very, very kind of sympathetic and understanding and sensitive. And also, you know, look, a lot of Spaniards are well aware of the contribution that British people make to the economy here in Spain. I couldn't overstate the impacts that it would have in all kinds of sectors. You know, we're not just talking about, I don't know, the TEFL sector, teaching English. You know, that's obviously like a very basic example, but it's much more than that. You know, Madrid really has become a hub in certainly in the last 10 years. And before that, even before the crisis, as they call it here as well, in terms of a lot of multinational companies being based here, there are so many Brits who live and work here. And, you know, potentially you could be looking at serious implications for Spain and the Spanish economy as well.
Alex, thank you so much for joining us and just illuminating what we talk about in abstracts to make it so personal. So good luck with the Spanish Football Podcast. Congratulations on the new job and, of course, your marriage. Thank you.
Oh, it's been my pleasure. Thanks very much for your time.
Brexit Ready is produced by Audio UK, the trade association for UK independent radio and audio producers. More details from audiouk.org. All the guidance contained in this podcast series has been compiled in good faith and is correct at time of publication. We would always advise checking for latest details on a reputable website. For example, you might try www.gov.uk/Brexit. I'm Georgie Frost. Charlotte North is the producer. Thanks for listening.